You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Wednesday, January 31st, and a day that will be long remembered in Kansas City and Washington. Actually, the 30th will, but the 31st is the reports of all of it. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning. I am the king. I am Fantasy. And it's going to be a fun show this morning and a fun day on the Fantasy Sports Network because we're going to be breaking down another big trade. It has been a very fun final week in fantasy sports. Fantasy sports players love to make trades. They love to talk about trades, and nothing is more impactful than seeing a trade in the real sports world. And it started yesterday when we were recapping the Blake Griffin trade to Detroit. Griffin did not make his debut with the Pistons just yet. That's forthcoming shortly. It has been a very quiet hot stove in comparison to past seasons. That is starting to tick some people off. But the NFL offseason hasn't officially even begun. It begins on March 14th, yet a major deal has already been agreed to in principle, and we're going to tell you about it as the quarterback carousel has started to move. One of the primary guys who is expected to change teams is going to change teams. It's pretty unofficial, but it's widely reported everywhere and all the pieces are in place. It just becomes finalized when the league calendar begins on March 14th. So we'll tell you about that. There wasn't too much other NFL news. Some minor coaching news that we'll tell you about as well. It was a busy night in the NBA, but there were two major injuries. Now, we saw the Blake Griffin trade this week, but we've also seen some bad news creeping through the association. We had the DeMarcus Cousins injury, and now we have two other significant injuries to report that are really going to hurt fantasy teams. We'll tell you about that, but also it was a historic night in the NBA for one of its marquee players. We'll tell you about that if you're just waking up, because this is where you put it every morning for the latest in fantasy sports with all the spins that you want to help your fantasy teams. We're not just a news show. We also give the analysis, so we'll tell you about that big night in the NBA and some other people stepping forward in wake of the trades. In Major League Baseball, we were thinking that maybe Yu Darvish would find a home by the end of the week. That is the reports, and some of the rumors are starting to churn a little harder. We still have some free agents out there. It was a busy night in the National Hockey League as the teams got back on the ice for a dozen games after taking a day off to recuperate from the All-Star break. We'll tell you about that. Not a lot going on in esports in terms of action, but you can go to sportsgrid.com and check out the best Overwatch matches of the week from Steve Tarone. The Overwatch League will pick up tonight. Make sure you listen to 1-2 Punch with Zareen T on demand and check out the Esports Network on YouTube for all their latest videos from the NALCS, the Boston Major this past weekend. Zareen was working very hard out there, and you want to check out everything if you're going to keep up on esports. We try to keep you up on it, so we'll have the latest scores and highlights tomorrow as Overwatch League will resume tonight. We cover it all right here on Fantasy Sports Today. But when we come back next, we're going to start with the big trade in the National Football League and break it down for you. And also you can go to rotoexperts.com and check out Jake Seeley's full breakdown. If you're just waking up, you went to bed early, well, get ready, because a prominent quarterback has a new team next on Fantasy Sports Today.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Good morning. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Scott Engel. I'm thinking a baseball trade is probably coming up today because we had a basketball trade on Monday, then a football trade on Tuesday. And if you follow Doug Anderson on Twitter, our associate editor and senior writer at Roto Experts at Roto Daddy, he's getting anxious because there's not enough movement going on in baseball free agency. But yet basketball and basketball, football, we're seeing trades. And yesterday was the NFL's turn after Blake Griffin took the news the other day. The Kansas City Chiefs trading Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins for cornerback Kendall Fuller and a 2018 third-round pick. And according to published reports, the Redskins will sign Smith to a four-year, $94 million extension through 2022 after they were not expected to slap the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins. So Smith, who's 33 years old right now, will be the quarterback of the Redskins through the age of 37, it seems. 33 years old is not old for a quarterback necessarily. I wanted to ask Tom Brady or Brett Favre about that. That's old for a running back. Maybe even a little bit old for a wide receiver, but not for a quarterback. This guy is coming off a career year where he threw for 4,042 yards, a career high, 26 touchdowns, also a career high in 5 interceptions. So coming off a career year, he cashes in, and the Chiefs look towards the future. According to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Browns also attempted to trade for Smith before he was dealt to Washington. ESPN's Adam Schefter indicating that up to 6 teams were in the mix to trade for Alex Smith. But maybe ultimately it was he that chose the Washington Redskins. Or, well, obviously, I mean, you're looking at a third-round pick and it's a top cornerback like Kendall Fuller, who Pro Football Focus graded out as number 5 last year. This really helps their secondary, which was a real problem, as you saw all throughout the season. So when you have Marcus Peters and Kendall Fuller, it's going to look pretty good. The Kansas City Star reported that the two teams have an agreement in place, but as we told you already, the move can't be made official until the new NFL calendar year starts on March 14th. Kansas City cleared $16 million in cap space as they're going to look to bulk up elsewhere. And now they'll turn to young quarterback Patrick Mahomes. So starting with Alex Smith, like we said, coming off a career year here, a lot of people speculating on possible places that he could go. We heard a lot of talk about Cleveland, but actually in a radio interview earlier this week, Smith actually said, wow, they were 1-31 the past 2 years. That's amazing. And was actually seemingly joking about the possibility of going to Cleveland. But like we said, according to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Browns were trying their best to get Alex Smith, and there is some talent there in Cleveland. Now, Smith threw downfield more this year, and playing with Jay Gruden, who encouraged Kirk's Cousins to throw more downfield, he could have another good season here. He's never led the Chiefs deep into the playoffs. He had only one win with Kansas City, but Washington, hopefully banking that this is the guy that maybe can push them to the next step. Washington always controversial with his quarterback issues. Maybe they see something in Smith that they just didn't in Cousins. But with Cousins, when he turned down their two-year deal 2 years ago, and he didn't really submit any numbers of his own, the writing was on the wall that he was eventually going to leave. So here, the Redskins making a clear commitment to Alex Smith. And when you look at the state of quarterback in the NFL, it makes sense because there's only about 14 or 15 guys in this league that you can really rely on if you're a front office guy. So Smith will stabilize the position. He does have Jamison Crowder. Jordan Reed never stays healthy. Josh Doctson is a guy that has a lot of potential, but Terrell Pryor is a free agent, was unlikely to be back. This team is probably not done making moves. You know, reading all over the internet, you see things such as like this team may be in the market for a difference-making power runner. They did draft Samaje Perine, but maybe they're not satisfied. You can't blame them. They do have Chris Thompson, who is an ultimate weapon out of the backfield. But is Perine the answer? And also, they want to get another deep threat. So this is probably the first step into what you see, what's going to happen in Washington. They're probably going to surround him with more offensive talent here. The only thing with Smith is, like we said, he's never went deep into the playoffs, but the Redskins really have to get to the next step where they're even going to make the playoffs. Fantasy-wise, not much more upside from what you saw this past year. In fact, if Smith kept around the same numbers, if Gruden asked him to throw a lot downfield, you know, maybe he can reach 4,000 yards again. But, you know, it's not for his forte to consistently be throwing bombs. That's just not his skill set. But if they feel that maybe they can change the offense more to surround him with a lot of playmakers, maybe even more than he had in Kansas City, because he really just had Travis Kelce. And until this past season, the past year and a half, when Tyreek Hill emerged, they always lacked a second receiver. Kelce was really the main guy. If they surround him with some diversity here in the passing game, it'll be interesting to see what Smith can do. Fantasy-wise, he played like a top-10 quarterback for the good stretch of the season, but overall, he just wasn't reliable. Alex Smith in Washington, probably a high-end fantasy quarterback, too. So now, what happens with Kirk Cousins here? According to the NFL Network, and this is no surprise, Cousins is fully expected to hit the open market when the new year, with a new calendar for the NFL, flips to March 14th. In an interview with ESPN, he insisted money is not going to be the only item that's on his mind when he goes to free agency. Before the Smith deal, he said, is money part of it? Yes. Is it the only thing? No. It is about winning, and that's what I'm want more than anything. So with that in mind, there are probably 7 legitimate targets for Kirk Cousins to go to, and maybe a fun 8th, which probably won't happen. So here I have them in order. I have my top 7 destinations for Kirk Cousins in 2018, along with a number 8 that would be kind of interesting and fun. I think obviously you start with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings might not have Case Keenum back, and now with Cousins on the open market, they can go after him and get that final piece that maybe would take him to a championship. Cousins would have Adam Thielen in place, Stephon Diggs in place, Dalvin Cook, a strong defense, Kyle Rudolph. It's one of the most perfect situations. That said, you know, when I'm talking about this, you know, I'm not talking about salary cap numbers, et cetera, because some of these teams might have to be creative in moving some salary cap money around. Jacksonville, the number 2 destination, and I'm ranking these in terms of where I'd like to see Cousins go, although probably number three on my list might have the best shot, but I haven't gotten to them yet. The Jacksonville Jaguars, are they willing to move on for Blake Bortles? Something they should do, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, too, that watch this game for a living. Why? We've already seen that Blake Bortles can't make the throws that are needed when the big game is on the line. Now, Cousins, he's faltered down the stretch, but to surround him with the kind of talent that they have in Jacksonville, another strong running game, a terrific defense, and Allen Robinson. Now, Marquise Lee could be gone. Allen Hurns could be gone. They would have to probably, you know, give him some other receiving parts there. Unless Keelan Cole, they really expect him to step up. It's probably the second best destination after Minnesota. But I believe the prime destination for Kirk Cousins lies in the AFC, and it's not in Jacksonville. And I'll tell you what that is next, plus my other top seven landing spots for Kirk Cousins in 2018. That's next here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Going down my top landing spots for Kirk Cousins. Love to see him in Minnesota or Jacksonville, I was saying. So a lot of Vikings and Jaguars fans. But I think the most obvious spot will be the Denver Broncos. John Elway wants a quarterback to take this team back to the next level. It's more of a gaping hole for the Denver Broncos than it is for Minnesota and Jacksonville. So I really believe the Denver Broncos, they have a lot of items in place right now, and you go right in there if you're Kirk Cousins and you have Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to work with. I think the Denver Broncos are going to make a strong push to get Kirk Cousins right here because Kirk Cousins wants to win, and he could be that missing piece in Denver. The defense can be more respectable than it was last year. Let's see what happens here. Working out with the running game, you know, maybe the Denver Broncos can draft or bring in a more dominant runner. Minnesota and Jacksonville are kind of obvious, but Denver seems like even more of a desperate need there. Minnesota maybe could retain Case Keenum. Maybe they decide to go with Teddy Bridgewater. Jacksonville at least has Blake Bortles to turn to, but the quarterback situation in Denver is even more of a mess than it is in Minnesota or Jacksonville. So I think Denver is a team I expect to make a strong push here, and John Elway is a guy that certainly knows the value of the quarterback position. Arizona is another possible landing spot as well. You know, this team has to move on from Carson Palmer, etc. now, and Cousins would give a good reason for Larry Fitzgerald to actually stay in town here. This team has some potential on defense. It's got David Johnson. It's got Fitzgerald. So if he's not going to go to Denver, Arizona could be another immediate fit for contention and would make a very improving NFC West even stronger. So Arizona is another possible landing spot. I think Minnesota and Jacksonville are obvious to a lot of people, but Denver and Arizona could be two of the strongest players. Also, you have to consider Buffalo. They have a quarterback need as well. They're going to move on from Tyrod Taylor, but there's nothing really in the receiving game. How about this, Buffalo? Be daring and bring in both Kirk Cousins and steal Jarvis Landry from the Dolphins, and then you got something to work with. The Jets, probably number six, because Kirk Cousins says he wants to win, and the Jets aren't close to winning. You know, this is a team that just won 5 games. When you talk about Minnesota, Jacksonville, they've been there already to the championship games. Denver is maybe a piece away. Arizona could be close to the playoffs. Buffalo is coming off its first playoff appearance in a long time. The Jets are just not close right now. So that might keep them out of contention. Same thing for the Cleveland Browns. But the Cleveland Browns do have some talent there. Now, Isaiah Crowell may not come back as a free agent, but they do have Duke Johnson working out of the backfield. They have Josh Gordon coming back. They have Corey Coleman. There are some pieces in that receiving game. Now, if Kirk Cousins doesn't want to win right away and he wants to become a hero, he goes to the Cleveland Browns. Now, those are my top 7 landing spots for Kirk Cousins. I'm sure you'll hear a lot of other people speculate on their own. Minnesota, Jacksonville, Denver, Arizona, Buffalo, and the Jets, and Cleveland. One interesting move might be, and there's no reason to believe in this, I just thought it'd be fun to bounce around. What if the New York Giants decide to move on from Eli Manning and then bring in Kirk Cousins somehow? Kirk Cousins to Odell Beckham Jr., and they also got to have Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. This is a team, if it turns it around defensively, that could be easily back in playoff contention with the right pieces. But I doubt that'll happen. I don't think that Kirk Cousins is going to end up in New Jersey at all. Probably, I think those teams have the least amount of shot, but the Giants one is just fun to entertain, actually. Let's move on to some other pieces of NFL news. You're listening to Fantasy Sports today. We're here with Scott Engel. According to the NFL Network, Andrew Luck is very close to resuming a throwing routine. That from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Of course, this is nothing to get excited about, as we heard reports all throughout the season last year about how he was getting close to being in practice, etc. I don't think we can believe anything from Andrew Luck unless we see it. The Titans hired former Rams offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur as their offensive coordinator. It would seem, on the surface, to be a lateral move, as Tony Cicada and I were talking about yesterday on the Fantasy News Desk, but it really isn't. You know, this guy had to get out from the shadow of Sean McVay and get his own chance, and McVay didn't stand in the way. He could have blocked the move, but he didn't. LaFleur, an integral part, though, of a Rams offense that went from last in scoring in 2016 to first in 2017. The Rams had the 10th-ranked offense overall. The Titans had the 23rd. He was also the Falcons' quarterbacks coach during Matt Ryan's 2016 season, in which he took the team to the Super Bowl and also won the MVP and rebounded in a big way from a bad 2015 season. So the staff is coming together for the Tennessee Titans. They were able to get Mike Vrabel as their head coach. They were able to coax Dean Pease out of a 4-week retirement. And they have LaFleur now. And I think these are all solid hires. You know, you look around the league and there were certain guys like Todd Haley and Brian Schottenheimer getting jobs. And with Haley, with all his personal issues reported with players, Schottenheimer just not impressive at all. These seem to be better hires rather than just recycling somebody like a Ken Norton Jr. or something like that. So, looks like the Titans are doing a good job. Meanwhile, the Rams promoted Aaron Cromer to the running game coordinator from offensive line coach, and Shane Waldron was moved to the passing game coordinator from a tight ends coach. So, it doesn't seem like that team is going to be lacking for continuity. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today here with Scott Engel. I'm here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning, followed by the Roto Expert from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every morning with Corey Parson, Greg Sussman, and Matt Modica. From 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, it is the Fantasy Frenzy with Jake Seely, Matt Modica, and Corey Parson. And from 11 to noon, It is the fantasy best friends forever with Greg Sussman, Mike Florio, and Frank Stanfill. And from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, it is Red Heat and Rage. Let's move on to the NBA. It was a much busier night and a historic night as James Harden scoring a career-high 60 points with 10 rebounds, 11 assists. It is the first time in NBA history that any player had a 60-point triple-double. Harden hitting 19 of 30 shots from the floor, 5 of 14 three-pointers, 17 of 18 free throws, also added 4 steals. He scored 18 points in the fourth quarter on his way to shattering Calvin Murphy's Rockets record of 57 points. Murphy, who is still tied very much to the organization, was at the game to witness history. Harden playing a season-high 46 minutes, and this was his fourth 50-point game of the season. So if you had James Harden in Daly last night, obviously you cashed or had a good shot of cashing in your seasonal league. What a boost. It's good to have him back from his injury, and now he is back in prime form. And Harden had to step up with some injuries last night as Chris Paul did not play in last night's game against the Magic with a sore right groin. He is iffy for the team's next game on Friday. Eric Gordon was able to play only 10 minutes. He didn't score. He just missed two shots. He had to start in place of Chris Paul last night, and maybe some people played him in Daly because of that, as poor Paul dealt with the sore groin. But then Eric Gordon had to leave the game with back stiffness, and he did not return. We'll have to wait and see on what his status is going to be. That's the good news from the NBA last night. Now, the bad news. John Wall will undergo a cleanup procedure on his left knee today and will be out 6 to 8 weeks. This is a significant loss for fantasy players right now and also for the Wizards as they lose one of their big two. Just not good to see. We'll tell you a little bit about how Otto Porter stepped up, though, and the team was still able to score a victory last night. But Wall now out 6 to 8 weeks. And recently we saw the loss of DeMarcus Cousins, and now here another top player goes down. Wall was averaging 19.4 points per game, 9.3 assists per game, and his player efficiency rating was 19.37. So a big, big loss for both fantasy players and the Washington Wizards. Thomas Satoransky had to step up and play point guard last night, and he did have 6 assists, but, you know, there's nothing really. It seems like you can pick up on the waiver wire here to fill in for John Wall. Another big NBA injury coming up next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. More bad news next on FNTSY.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. We just told you about John Wall being out 6 to 8 weeks with a knee injury. And he's not the only significant player that's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. X-rays revealing that Kevin Love suffering a non-displaced fracture of the fifth metacarpal in his left hand, injuring it during Tuesday's loss. And ESPN is reporting that he's going to be a 6 to 8 week recovery time. The Cavaliers said his status would be updated after additional exams today, according to the Associated Press. The Cavaliers have dropped 11 of their last 16 games. And now you can probably look for, as the Associated Press notes, for the team to probably make a trade as the deadline approaches on February 8th. They may have to make a significant move to replace Kevin Love. They're going to have to need other guys to step forward in Cleveland in the meantime, including Tristan Thompson and a host of others. But Channing Frye was actually the guy that stepped forward last night with Love out. And for a good chunk of that game, Channing Frye with a season-high 20 points and 6 rebounds and 4 three-pointers in 21 minutes. So you're playing in a deeper league. You need a plugger. Channing Frye, maybe somebody to have on your radar here. Dwayne Wade also coming back from 2 games off because of a shoulder problem and some personal issues that he had to deal with. He scored 18 points with 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And the Cavaliers may need a host of players to step up here. Also, Dante Cunningham started for the Pelicans yesterday, but only played 10 minutes and scored 4 points. He suffered a back injury, and this team cannot afford any more losses with DeMarcus Cousins out. Darius Miller did get 10 points in 29 minutes, and it appears if anybody may step up in Cousins' absence, it could be Darius Miller, but this team should also be on the radar for making a trade. The Grizzlies dealing with a lot of injuries, including Dylan Brooks with a knee problem. He's day-to-day as they head into tonight's game. Also, Tyreke Evans is hurting, and Mario Chalmers is questionable for tonight's game with a hamstring injury. Aaron Gordon with a shoulder injury. He's doubtful for tonight. Lance Stephenson is questionable to play on Wednesday versus the Grizzlies. And CJ Miles did not play versus Minnesota last night because of knee soreness. Some of the better performances of the night, though, with that trade of Avery Bradley to the Clippers, Stanley Johnson is getting his chance to step forward, and he made the most of it. This is a guy that you have to consider as a pickup, that Stan Van Gundy is very, very hopeful that he can continue to play like he did last night. In the win over the Cavaliers last night, 125-114, Stanley Johnson a career-high 26 points as he made 10 of 21 from the field and 5 of 8 from the line. Guys like Stanley Johnson, Reggie Bullock are going to have to step forward with Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley gone. Nikolai Jokic yesterday left the game briefly with an ankle sprain, but he was able to play 34 minutes ultimately and finish with 13 points and 7 rebounds. And Yusef Nurkic trying to hold off a push from Ed Davis in that important lineup, had a career-high 20 rebounds, also with 14 points in 28 minutes. Here's some other highlights from the NBA from last night. Andre Drummond also stepping forward as Blake Griffin was not available and had a huge game. 21 points, 22 rebounds. As Griffin comes in, we'll see how he's going to fit in as his partner in crime and how his numbers are going to change. Enes Kanter with a huge game for the Knicks as they beat Brooklyn 111-95 and swept the Nets. He had 20 points and 20 rebounds in 30 minutes. He was 8 for 10 from the field, 4 for 4 from the line, and he also had a career-high 5 assists. Very inspired performance from Kanter, who is really rolling lately. Anthony Davis as New Orleans lost to Sacramento. This team is having all kinds of issues right now without DeMarcus Cousins. Losing to the Kings 114-103, but he still had 23 points and 13 rebounds. Damian Lillard continues to roll. 28 points and 7 assists last night. Hit all 11 of his three throws and 5 from 10 from three-point range as Portland beat the Clippers 104-96. Lillard has been excellent lately. Ricky Rubio last night with 23 points and a career-high 11 assists as Utah beat Golden State by 30 in the surprise of the night, 129-99. Rubio, you know, maybe this will start pushing him towards having another strong stretch run. Klay Thompson, 27 points and 6 rebounds in the loss. Otto Porter Jr. stepped up, and the Wizards are going to need this without John Wall. 25 points, 6 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis, 28 points last night and 5 rebounds. He had 9 of 19 from the field and 6 of 8 from three-point range. LaMarcus Aldridge, as he was front and center again in any San Antonio win they're going to have this year. They beat Denver by 2. He had 30 points and 5 rebounds. We mentioned Stanley Johnson's performance last night. Zach Randolph was in the lineup for Sacramento. 26 points, 12 rebounds. Too bad you can't assist to have that consistently. Kufos with 17 points, 7 rebounds. Bradley Beal, he's going to have to take on a lot with Wall out. 21 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists. Jimmy Butler last night. 25 points and 6 rebounds. Andre Tolliver for Detroit, 20 points. Kyle Anderson with 18 points and 4 rebounds. The Spurs really want to get this guy to step up, but we haven't seen enough consistency from him. Paul George with 28 points and 6 rebounds. Derek Favors, 18 points and 10 rebounds. DeMar DeRozan with 23 points, 8 assists last night. Only 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists for LeBron James last night. Jonas Valanciunas stepping forward with 18 points and 11 rebounds. We need to see more of that. Markieff Morris also trying to fill a void there for Washington. 18 points, 6 rebounds. As a unit, Washington really stepping up without Wall. Donovan Mitchell, 20 points last night. And also last night, Paul Gasol with 18 points and 8 rebounds. And Ish Smith last night with 19 points and 7 assists. So that was pretty much it on a busy night in the National Basketball Association. Big night of injury news. And James Harden stealing the show with a 60-point triple-double. It's going to be very hard to match that the rest of the year or in history at any time. So let's tell you what's coming up in the NBA. For the final day of the month, it is going to be another healthy schedule. We have 7 games tonight, and it begins with the Grizzlies and the Pacers at 7 p.m. Eastern at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The line is Indiana minus 7.5. The over-under is 204. The Grizzlies are very banged up. Maybe no Tyreek Evans tonight. Maybe no Dylan Brooks. The Pacers getting everybody back to healthy. Miles Turner is back, so this should be a good game for Indiana. 7 p.m. Eastern, the Lakers are at the Magic. Probably no Aaron Gordon tonight. The Lakers are rounding back into health. 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, only a game that fantasy players can watch. The Hornets and the Hawks at Phillips Arena in Atlanta. The line is Charlotte minus 2.5. The over-under is 210.5. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Nets on a second night of a back-to-back will host the Sixers. The line is Philadelphia minus 6.5. The over-under is 211. We'll probably see Joel Embiid after he rested on the second night of a back-to-back. Last night, the Nets were without Caris LeVert and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and just played terribly in Manhattan. 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, it's the Heat and the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, we told you, have lost 11 of their last 16. So this is going to be a test. The line is Cleveland minus 3.5. The over-under is 213. The Knicks on the second night of a back-to-back will travel to Boston. They play them twice this week. The line is Boston minus 9.5. The over-under is 208. The Knicks just came back from a 7 road trip and now go back on the road. 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the Bulls and the Trailblazers. That should be a good one at the Moda Center. The line is Portland -7.5. The over-under is 214. The Bulls will try to keep Damian Lillard in check on the second night of a back-to-back. Lauri Markkanen did not play last night because of personal reasons. And at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, ESPN is somehow televising this game. I don't know why. There's better games on the schedule. The Mavericks and the Sun from Talking Stick Resort Arena. That will be the last game of the night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So that's it for the NBA. It was a very busy night. We got more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It was a busy night in the NHL with a dozen games. We have some Major League Baseball news, but seems like that the hot stove just isn't hot enough. We still have some guys out there that are waiting to be signed. Also, the Overwatch League will resume tonight. You can check out Zareen T tonight. Her on-demand show from last night, 1-2 Punch, in which she talks fully about esports. And go to sportsgrid.com and check out Steve Tarone's best matches and breakdowns from the most recent week of Overwatch. But you can listen to 1-2 Punch on demand right now on iTunes, Google Play, and Audio Boom. And of course, if you always miss this show, you can always listen to us on demand on iTunes and Google Play and Audio Boom. We get you set up here at 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning with what's happening, the latest in fantasy sports, and what's upcoming tonight. We'll keep you updated all week. Busy week in the NBA. The NHL is back in action. Hopefully we're going to get some resolution to this whole Yu Darvish mess. We'll talk about that in a minute. Some of the fallout is going to begin from this Alex Smith trade. If you're just waking up, Alex Smith was traded to the Washington Redskins. That cannot become official until the league calendar actually flips on March 14th. Coming up next, the latest hot stove news. It's not a lot, and the night in the National Hockey League. Right here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll take you to 7 a.m. Eastern, and it's time for the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Here's some hot stove buzz. According to the LA Times, Yu Darvish has made it clear he would like to return to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But according to the Times, the team wants to see if they can move some other money, maybe trade guys away like Yasmani Grandal, Hyunjin Ryu, so they can clear some cap space in order to bring back Darvish. But also, yesterday there was a report, according to FanRag, that the Brewers may remain engaged with discussions as Darvish as well. Now, there was a report from FanRag earlier this week that Darvish pretty much wanted to get something tied up by the end of the week, so we may have a resolution within the next day or two, or hopefully. MLB.com reporting that the Rockies are interested in Todd Frazier. There was another report, much along that vein, yesterday that we told you about, that they want to bring in a corner infielder. Maybe they'll bring back Mark Reynolds, who had a very surprising year last year. Ian Desmond gives them some flexibility. They can play Desmond in left field, or they could bring back Carlos Gonzalez. It really didn't appear like they were going to bring back Carlos Gonzalez, but then they can move Desmond to first base. So the Rockies are going to close in on a move there very soon. According to MLB Trade Rumors and MLB.com, Mike Clevenger says he's not thinking about pitching out of the bullpen this year, and he wants to throw 200 innings. Clevinger with a nice breakout season last year, a great fantasy addition. 12-6 with a 3.11 ERA and 125 1.25 WHIP. He had 114 innings last year and had nearly 10 strikeouts per nine. But still, he's going to have to battle for a rotation spot in the spring. My money would be on Clevinger earning it and once again being a really good back-of-the-end rotation fantasy starter, back-of-the-staff fantasy starter. Asdrubal Cabrera telling the New York Post that he'd like to play second base instead of third this year for the New York Mets. The Mets recently re-signing Jose Reyes. Cabrera, a good late-round pick for your middle of cornfield, infield spot for a decent average and some pop. The Mets probably going to make a move to get another third baseman or second baseman. They've been linked to guys like Todd Frazier, possibly bringing back Neil Walker, Eduardo Nunez, etc. And for those of you playing mono leagues, you won't have Norichiko Aoki. He's signed a three-year deal to return to the Yakult Swallows in Japan. So he won't be available for you this upcoming year. In the Overwatch League tonight, if you're watching on Twitch, the match to watch at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern will be the Los Angeles Valiant and the Philadelphia Fusion. Both teams are 4-2. The Florida Mayhem will take on the Los Angeles Gladiators, and the Houston Outlaws will take on the San Francisco Shock. Let's move on to the National Hockey League as we just have a few minutes left here. Adam Henrique scored twice, and the Ducks ended Boston's 18-game point streak with a 3-1 victory over the Bruins on Tuesday night. Jacob Silfverberg also scored for the Ducks, the first team to beat the Bruins in regulation since Washington's 5-3 win December 14th at Boston. Cam Fowler and Richard Rakell had two assists apiece. Rakell, one of the stars of All-Star Weekend this past week. Sebastian Aho was back, and he and Victor Rask scored in the third period as Carolina beat the Senators 2-1. Cam Ward made 29 saves for Carolina. And the Hurricanes returned from the All-Star break with their second straight win after dropping 6-8. It was the Panthers 4 and the Islanders 1 as Harry Saturday stopped 32 shots for his first career victory. The Devils 3 and the Sabres 1. Taylor Hall scored in his first game after missing 3 with an injury to his right hand. The Penguins 5 and the Sharks 2. Evgeny Malkin with his 12th career hat trick. The Wild 3, the Blue Jackets 2. Goals for Zach Parise and Chris Stewart. Also the Jets 3, the Lightning 1. Blues 3, Canadians 1, Blackhawks 2, Predators 1 as Anton Forsberg made 42 saves. The Roto Experts is next.